You're listening to Real Faith Radio, presented by Praise Chapel Las Vegas. This is where real faith meets real training. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play Music to get instant notifications when new episodes are available to stream. You can also visit our website, PraiseChapelLasVegas.com, to find out more info about PCLV and visit our event tab to see what's going on this month. Lastly, like our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at PC Las Vegas. Thank you again and enjoy the message.
I thank you, brothers, up front for allowing me to turn that off. I know it's hot up in here, but it is hard to hear. Amen. Don't kill me. I appreciate you so much. That's 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. And when you get there, just say amen. Amen. And it reads as such: humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Somebody say roaring. Looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him the power forever and ever. Amen. Church, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I give you honor and praise. I ask that the Holy Spirit sweep through this place right now. God, I ask that lives would be changed, not just for the words that I say, but for the words that you want to speak through us. Deal with us accordingly, Lord. You have given us a great responsibility, and that is your word, because your word is sovereign. Your word breaks change. It changes lives. And I thank you. I bless you for the people that are here. Let there be less of me and more of you. Lord, we need you tonight. We understand that as we go forth, Lord, that we must look to you always, for there is no one like you. In the precious and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, give God some praise. Church, I just got one thing to say tonight. It's either fight or flight. It's either fight or flight. Yeah, see, this thing has been on me for a while, but, you know, it's interesting. You know, church, in life, the things that we go through can shape our very walk with Christ, as we already know. And for what it's worth, we hope that things will be positive and that there will be a reward at the end of the adversity or whatever it is we go through. And this is just my opinion. I would say that it is normal to want the things in our lives to work out. Would you all agree? Amen. We just sometimes want to get back to where things make sense in our life. I don't know what that is for you, but just things to seem inherently normal to us. But I have a question tonight. What happens when our situation takes longer to come out of than we expected? How do we respond, amen, when God doesn't answer the way we think he should? You see, for most of us, and this is just my thought, I believe that we take on the fight or flight behavior mentality. So what do I mean by that? What does that actually mean in reference to what we're talking about tonight? Well, generally, one can only hope that when things become difficult within our faith walk, our fighting, or as what we know as fight, should cause us to dig in and remain steadfast to God's promises, no matter how we perceive the outcome. Would you agree? When we fight, amen, we place the enemy on notice, right, that we are not to be moved and that we believe God's word for simply what it is, and that is God's word will not come back void. Come on, somebody. But see, here's the thing. There should be a hidden determination in us when we fight. Would you agree? Some of us have been in fights before, and deep down inside, we might have looked at somebody like, I'm about to wash you. Amen. Yeah, you already know what I'm talking about. Yeah, come on. See, we accept the challenges, watch this, that are to come. Amen. We are not surprised when we see the devil's schemes around the corner when we fight. You see, fighters, and this is just my thought, should understand that these things that I'm speaking of are because it is a part of being a Christian in the very walk that we walk in today. Would you agree? Come on, somebody. On the other hand, there's the flight mentality. Those that take flight run from the inevitable clash between themselves and the enemy of their soul. Amen. Christians that take flight may love the Lord and they come to church. Amen. But may appear a little flaky when there's real turmoil that comes forth. Amen. Oh, yeah. I'm not rebuking nobody. Come on. I'm talking to me, too. And let me tell you something, that taking flight can take on many forms. It's almost like a chameleon. Amen. Trouble with money, and we take on the flight mentality for responsibility when it comes to our giving in the church. Problems in our home, and we take on the flight mentality by avoiding the needed reconciliation with our family, children, and spouses. Amen. Or here's my personal favorite. We take on the flight mentality when it comes to God's calling. When God's put a call on our lives. Here we go. We grieve God's calling. Watch this. The calling of God by avoiding going deeper in Him, Josh. Watch this. Because we don't really want to face the attack that is inevitable over our lives when we're called. Amen. Now watch this, church. The text says in 1 Peter 5 and 6, that we are to humble ourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift us up in due time. Cast all our anxiety, somebody say our anxiety, on Him because He cares for us. Amen. He cares for us. And even though we may know that, Praise Chapel, taking flight is one of the greatest tools that the enemy relies on because he recognizes, yeah, I'm talking about it, that if he strikes fear in us, then he really does. He's already victorious. He doesn't have to do anything else. Come on, church. Church of Jesus Christ, watch this. There comes a time where every one of us have to fight and not take flight. You believe that? Give God some praise tonight. Now what? Now listen. As Christians, we have to know that our fight is sure to come as the day we were born. When we were formed in our mother's womb, we already knew that we were going to have to fight. Now watch this. Peter knew this thing all too well. He knew Christ very well. And at this time, he went on to really strengthen his faith in the risen Lord. But watch this. Peter had some denial issues. Can we all agree with that from the beginning? See, he took flight once by denying Jesus three times. You remember what happened, don't you? He said, Lord, I'll follow you no matter where you go. He said, hold on, Peter, watch this. Before the rooster crows three times, trace times, you're going to trace. Not uno, not dos, not tres, not cinco. Look, I got it all wrong, amen? But trace time, right? Need to brush up on my Spanish. But trace time, I know that for sure, you're going to deny me. And he did. He denied him. And he called him out before it even happened. But as time went on and as Peter experienced the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his foundation became more sturdy and more reliable. But it was because of the cross, amen. See, watch this. Peter's name means rock. And historians believe that Christ had given Peter a conception, amen, of a spiritual house of composed of living stones built upon Jesus himself. Jesus had encouraged Peter to watch over the church as a shepherd watching over his flock, much like Pastor Art watches over us. Amen. That's why Peter would use the analogy of living stones and shepherd and sheep to describe the church of Christ. Praise Chapel. You listening? Let me tell you something. The first thing that we have to do, we have to become living foundations. We have to become living foundations. Not only in our hearts, but in our faithfulness. And I believe that God desires us, talking about us, the spirit man, to be faithful no matter what the circumstances truly are. That's why the text says, if you look at the text, to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, that He may lift us up in due time. Church, listen, To be a living foundation means to be unmovable and unwavering. That's why he told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will what? Not prevail. Amen? He wasn't just exclusively talking about building materials. He was talking about building people. He was talking about building people, church. Listen to this. Christ wants to build you and I for his kingdom, but the most important thing, you know what it starts with? It starts with humility. And so many of us don't have humility in the kingdom. Oh, God. God's hand is unmovable when we remain under it. And the problem with so many, for so many in the kingdom, is that when we get uncomfortable, we begin to move around like chess pieces on a board. It's quiet. We take flight when we should be living foundations, church. Now watch this. Humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, and he will lift us up in due season. That's what the text says. God has an appointed time when he will raise us up. He has that time, not in your time, not in Jethro's time out there, but in his time. Yeah, I know. I just came up with a random name. I'm sorry. Jeff, Louis, amen. That feel better? And even in the midst of our trial, now listen, he will equip us with the gift of long-suffering if we just remain humble. Now let me ask you a question. What does long-suffering mean? Just what it means to suffer long. It's not rocket science. It's to suffer and to not just faint at heart. That's all it means. After we suffer for a while, church, that's long-suffering. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, how can he use us for his glory when we take flight? Let me tell you, when we move away, we show a lack of humility. You know, humility is right there with pride. You know, when we show a lack of humility, we really show our pride. And believe it or not, the body of Christ is one of the more guilty entities that you'll see that in any other place. It's not just in the world where there's pride. It's right here in the body of Christ. That's a fact. You know, let me give you an example. Graduated from college in 2004, and I wanted to go down to Tampa. I moved down to Tampa right after I graduated and took a job, but I really didn't want that job. I was trying to get close because I wanted to work for the NFL. Now, I wasn't trying to play in the NFL. Just make that clear. I wasn't good enough, okay? But I did want to work for the NFL in the front office. And so what I did, I said, I'm going to take this job in Tampa, and I'm going to move down here, and I'm really going to try to get in the door that way. And so, you know, I was newly saved, and I went to the pastor of the church where I had first got saved. And he didn't hinder me. He was like, you know what? You want to go? Fine. He said, but I don't see you walking around with footballs in your hand and clipboards and following football players. I see you with a Bible in your hand. Ooh, I got hot. Well, I was hot as fish grease over that. I was like, I was like, I don't receive none of that. Amen. Oh, I did. I had a real attitude over that. And I went anyway. Even though the Lord was telling me, you know, you ain't got no business going down to Tampa. And let me tell you something. I came right on back home. Within 6 months, I was already back home. I wasn't even there a full year. I was already back. The first month I was down there, I knew it wasn't going to work out. Everything just began to close up. Everything. Yeah, you see? But what it really was, I was running. That's the truth. You see, I was so busy trying to run, church. I couldn't hear that still small voice in my ear saying, stop. Just stop. I was so consumed with me that I got off the path and had to come back home. I was just like a lost sheep. That's how we are sometimes. We're like lost sheep, church. You know, as lost sheep, we open ourselves up to the slaughter out there. As lost sheep, we're outside of the pack. You see, as Christians, we need to be on the path that the shepherd lays out for us, amen? Which takes me to my second point, church. I'm not going to preach long tonight. As believers, we have to trust the shepherd. We have to trust the shepherd, brother. We have to trust him. Jesus reminds us that he is the good shepherd. And even though we have heard this before, I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, at some point in our lives have found ourselves off the path only to find out that there was trouble around the corner. It's that simple. As sheep, our job is not to manage our course or go ahead of the shepherd. You know what our job is? To follow him. Our job is to follow him. That's it. Just to follow him. To stay focused on Christ. We are to follow him because when we don't, what do we know? Disaster strikes. It strikes. And it strikes quick, don't it? Let me tell you something. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Lost sheep become lost because they are no longer alert. Their minds become cloudy. See, when you think of sober, people, that's often synonymous with being high or drunk. But see, no, that's not what they're talking about here. They're talking the mind is cloudy. It's not focused on what it's supposed to be focused on. Let me tell you something. Their minds become cloudy to predators that surround them. How many know we're surrounded by predators every day? We're surrounded by predators. Many of us were supposed to be sober or clear-minded in our thinking, and yet we failed by taking our eyes off the good shepherd. He's supposed to be the good shepherd, right? And isn't that just like us, church, right? I say it all the time. Distraction is a powerful tool for the enemy. Because you know why? We're essentially gift-wrapped for the enemy. He don't have to do much. It's like, when you're distracted, you're just walking around. Supposed to use the Holy Spirit as your peripheral, the eyes in the back of your head, the front of your head. Nope. It's a powerful weapon for Satan, and here's why. If Satan can get you off the path of righteousness, he don't have to do nothing else. He don't have to put sickness in your body. He don't have to use your loved ones. He don't have to use a stranger. It's already done. It's already done. Yeah, see, our enemy, somebody say our enemy. We have a common enemy that prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And the text even shows us, watch this, that there is a warning because our enemy is like a roaring lion. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We hear Satan roaring all the time, and yet we get lost. We get lost. The world out there is roaring, church. See, here's the thing. When you go out to that exit right there, you're not under the ark of safety anymore. You don't have to go far to find out it's roaring. Some of us know that all too well. There was a shooting over here about a year ago, and we were just 3 steps away from the church. See, that roaring was in the form of gunfire. Roaring is in the sound of addiction. Roaring is in the sound of backbiting. Roaring is in the sound of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That's roaring, church. And see, that's the problem. Many of us can't see what's in front of us because really we should be putting our eyes and keeping our eyes on the Savior. But thanks be to God, church. There's good news in all of that. The Savior who lets us know in John 10:27, that's a sheep, hear my voice. I know them. He knows us. He knows us, and they follow me. When you really know him, church, get this, you can hear him. When our Father calls us, it's best to come running to him. Wouldn't you agree? He says, behold. This is what he says. He gives us so many warnings. He says, behold, I send you out amidst as sheep amidst the wolves. That's what the text says. He gives us warning after warning after warning, but we do like it. And all of a sudden, there's a predator right there. And we don't pay attention. And see, the thing is about sheep, when they're attacked, there's this blood-curdling sound. But oftentimes, when that happens, they're far away from the shepherd. When they get attacked like that, they're not close to the shepherd. They're already in the hands of the predator. And that's what happens in life, church. Many times, people are so far away from the shepherd when they get attacked like that. They're out of the ark of safety. They're away from people that are praying. They're away from the church, their church home. And by that time, it's too late. It's truth. Because there is another sound, and it's a roaring lion. And I can assure you, he's waiting to devour you. You see, the problem is, and this is the thing, church, that the people of the world believe that God is a fairy tale. Oh, they do. They don't believe that time is wrapping up. You know, I was reading something on FoxNews.com, and then I Googled it because I wanted to make sure that it just wasn't just something that just, you know, when you go to some of those webpages, you go down at the bottom, they have stories, but they seem kind of fake, you know, like it'll have like a 20-foot anaconda, you know, or something like that, something crazy, right? But this story just kept coming up, and I really got to thinking about it. And in the state of Wisconsin, they are now putting chips in the hands. How many of you have heard what I'm talking about? They're putting chips in the hands of people so that now they don't need money anymore. They can just take this and scan their hand, and everything they need, they can get. They're taking the mark, church. And here's the thing in the world. The world is so oblivious that they can't even see that God's word has come to pass and will continue to come to pass. They're so oblivious. That's why it's so important to be under the ark of safety, church. Can you believe that? They are literally taking the mark, and they're proud of it. They're proud of it. They are taking it anyway. They say, I don't care. I'm going to take it because it makes things easier. And that's how it starts. Let me tell you, it's only going to get worse. That's why we have to be strong now, even when we don't want to be. Let me tell you, the text says in 1 Peter 5:9, listen to this, to resist him, you got to resist that stuff that you see out there, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers, talking about us, throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. They're seeing the same things go on everywhere. This isn't a game. It's been prophesied that it was going to come to pass, and it has. And yet people still ignore it as if it's a game. Church, let me say this. We are all witnesses to what's going on. See, that's what that passage of scripture just said there in 1 Peter 5:9. We're all witnesses. We have a front row seat to see what the last days look like, and yet many in the church have not yet caught on. And can I tell you something? And Pastor Art, I believe this. At this moment in time in history, it's either fight or flight. There's no in-between anymore. Doesn't mean that God isn't merciful. It doesn't mean that there isn't grace, but it's either fight or flight. And that takes me to my final point, church. The last thing we have to do, we have to stand firm in the faith. We have to stay firm in the faith, church. You know, I want to say this about Peter. He was strong, but didn't stand firm when he denied Jesus. That's obvious. It took the resurrection, like I said earlier, of Jesus for Peter to become steadfast in the faith and stay there. But here's the thing. Even though Peter wasn't worthy, Christ used him anyway. Yeah, but he had to suffer, church. Let me tell you. Throughout history, we know that Peter spent time in Rome, and under Roman rule, they were very antagonistic towards Christians. But Peter basically witnessed people around him that were close to him dying off for the faith. And I believe that we are coming to a point where people are already dying for the faith. We've already had some people over in North Korea and places like that dying for the faith. And it's only going to become a greater thing. You can go into parts of Eastern Europe, and not only in Eastern Europe, but you can go into parts of China. You can go into the Middle East, and you can experience that same type of danger. But can I tell you something? It's nothing to what they experienced in Rome, but it's going to get there. We're gonna see a resurgence of what Rome once was. We are. Amen. My God. Church, if we're going to stand firm, we're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to suffer, church. See, here's the thing. When we really know him, when we say we really know him, we have an understanding that suffering comes with the territory. It comes with the territory. You see, Peter, much like us, have denied him. So we don't really want to admit it, but we've denied him. Or we've denied him one way or the other. God done told you to get up in the middle of the night and pray. You're like, I ain't doing that. Or you know, you dummy down your walk with Christ around people you know you're not saved to make them comfortable. He said, if you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father. That's what he says. Listen, I'm telling you, this is just the way God has given it to me. And I'm really not trying to rebuke anybody, but I'm really, I don't know why God has taken me this way, because I really want to articulate to everybody that time is really wrapping up. This isn't playtime anymore. You know, listen, you know, when we, you know, we've experienced his grace and mercy through his suffering, much like Peter. And even though Peter nor us could ever repay him, we could never repay him. He still sees the best in us despite us. He still sees the best of us in spite of us. And all that he asks, church, is that we stand firm in him. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Church, listen to me. If you don't remember nothing tonight, and I know there was a lot here, and I'm almost done. You don't remember nothing else. Always keep in mind that we are sheep. We are his sheep. And as sheep, we are often fragile, needy, and distracted. It's the truth. That's flesh. That's humanity. We wouldn't last 5 minutes if we had to go to Calvary. Not 5 minutes. From the moment we found out we had to die for the world. Come on, Effie. Come on, Amanda. What's the truth? Not 5 minutes would we last to Calvary. But I thank God for his son. Come on, church. Who can restore us through his purpose. Who says, I know that you're not all that you are right now, but it doesn't mean you're not going to be what you need to be for my... come on. Somebody give God some praise. Hallelujah. The text says in 1 Peter 5 and 10, and I'll close it out with this, and the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, somebody say a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. The measure of our grace is his suffering, church. That's the measure of our grace. He suffered so that we would have abundant grace. And even though we don't deserve his grace, get this, and all the things we have done, and my God, we have done so much, after we experience suffering for only a while, when we deserve more, he will restore us. He'll restore us by making us stronger, more firm, more steadfast than we could ever imagine or even know before. Amen. It's fight or flight, church. That's all it is. It's fight or flight. When we stand firm in the faith, when we're really firm, we put the enemy on notice. We put him on notice that we are ready to fight if we have to. Otherwise, we are nothing more than what Ephesians 4 and 14 describes as being blown here and there by every wind, making us vulnerable to deceitful schemes. We fly away. Praise Chapel. Let me tell you something. Be a living foundation. Trust the shepherd and stand firm in the faith. And after a while, he will restore you. Come on, church, give God some praise. I'm done. Woo!